Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My next guest today is Abby McAllister, Wildlife Education and Outreach Specialist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon, Abby.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Shelley.
Oh, yeah. It's always great to talk to you.
Likewise.
You're here for another Wildlife Roundup segment we do about once a quarter, kind of when the seasons change. And you usually talk to us about what the local wildlife is up to as we do go from maybe like one season to another. And I know I should say fall is coming, though it feels like it's been here for a while. So my first question for you is, does excessive rain affect wildlife activity around here in any significant way?
You know, I think that I would say that anecdotal reports and probably scientific reports have found this as well, that in certain areas, rain does affect wildlife movements. Southeast Alaska, however, is one of those regions that just gets so much rain on a regular basis that wildlife really wouldn't get much done if their movements and their patterns revolved around whether it was raining or not. You know, I've seen bears out in a torrential downpour as if nothing was happening whatsoever. And same with deer. You know, I'd say that generally speaking, if it affects the deer's ability to use his senses, right? So if it's really windy, or usually it's wind, or if the snow is really deep, or something extreme where they can't hear well, they can't see well, they will bed down until they feel safe to get up and move around. But rain, I don't think rain really affects them in that way. And so, yeah, no, wildlife are out there just doing their normal thing, I think, these days.
And then this is kind of a random question. And so advance warning, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I just got a hummingbird feeder this year, and I've noticed that the hummingbirds haven't been around so much when it rains. Do you know what they do instead?
You know, I think that a hummingbird would seek cover, especially the maybe a light drizzle. Hummingbird is a very slight bird. You know, it's one of the smallest bird species, and it takes a lot of energy to fly back and forth. It has a massive metabolism. And so when it's raining heavily, it wouldn't be surprising to me that a hummingbird would hunker down until that rainstorm stops. I've seen hummingbirds taking refuge on branches right against the tree. Other birds will do the same thing. And then as soon as that rain subsides, it is a lot easier to fly and probably less, less dangerous for them as well. They could get knocked right out of the sky. I don't know about that for sure. Don't quote me on that one. But, I would say that, yeah, for a small little guy like a hummingbird, they probably would hunker down when it gets pretty rainy.
Cool. Thanks for answering my question. You know, apart from when I do the show, I work from home. And so I got a hummingbird feeder and I moved my desk so I can watch it. And there's just not much to see.
I haven't seen as many as in past years either. And, you know, hummingbirds will move, they're migratory. And so it could be that with the cooler summer that maybe they just didn't migrate as far north as they typically do. Or maybe they bypassed us altogether and went up, you know, somewhere further where it was a little bit warmer. I know the interior has had a nicer summer as we progressed into these summer months. But anyway, those are feathered friends. I don't know as much about those, I will admit.
All right. Well, let's switch over to some topics that you wanted to discuss today. I know there's quite a bit on your list. So what is number one?
Sure. Well, I don't think this is going to be a surprise to many folks listening today, but bears are number one on our action item list here at the department in Douglas this summer. Our biologists are quite literally working around the clock 24/7 to help respond to bear calls in Juneau this summer. We are on track to have a record number of bear calls. Our biologist Roy will get calls in the middle of the night. He'll get calls middle of the day. On average, he's receiving about 15 calls a day when it comes to addressing bear concerns in Juneau. And the most common question that I get from people is why? What's so different about this year? Is it because we don't have tourists running all over the place? Is it because our streets and trails are quieter? And I would say that potentially that is a factor based on what I've talked to biologists about. But really what it is we are seeing a bumper crop of young bears basically these are cubs from last year that grew up into adolescence this year and have been kicked out by mom this spring. Mm. And now they are teenagers trying to find their way. And what they're doing is they are finding their way into places that they shouldn't. Garbage that's been unsecured, chicken coops that maybe aren't protected by an electric fence. And it only takes really one time for these little guys to learn that, oh, this is a much easier and tastier meal than the dandelions on the side of the road, or the blueberries that aren't so great this year, or the salmon in the stream that just are too hard to catch if you can find one. Mm. So compounding the fact that these bears are able to get these easy meals, we also aren't having a great season for natural foods for bears. Blueberries have not been that great. We had some salmon berries, but they went pretty quick. And our salmon returns, as people have probably heard in news reports, are really not coming back as strong as they have in past years. So bears are hungry. And so we really need everyone's help. This is kind of a call for help. I know that everyone is dealing with a whole lot of to-dos these days, you know, wash your hands and wear your face mask and don't wear your face mask over here, but you have to wear it over here. And when it comes to the bears, we have only a couple months left. If everybody can just kind of batten down the hatches and just make it really too hard for those bears to get garbage, they will go somewhere else. I watched a video taken recently up in the Highlands, and it was of a family of bears. So it was a sow and her cubs. And the mother bear was trying her darndest to get into this compost container. And it was this bear resistant compost container. It looked like a very large hamster ball or something. And mm-hmm. she was trying so hard and hugging it. And over on the side were her two cubs absolutely mowing down currants. I mean, absolutely feasting. And here you watched this mother bear try for about, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to try to get into this compost bin. And it was just too much work for her. So she went over, sat down next to her cubs and started eating berries alongside of them. So that's kind of, you know, a perfect example of what we hope people will do. Just make it too hard and they'll go somewhere else. Because we don't want these bears coming out of hibernation next year, bigger and stronger and more bold. It really, in the end, it doesn't make for safe neighborhoods, and it doesn't end well often for bears. So
right.
That's my big kind of thing on bears right now. But that's not all that's going on, Shelley. Really, it's not.
There's more.
There's more.
Can I ask one quick question about bears?
Yeah,
just absolutely. Just as a reminder, I know compost and garbage are, of course, the most obvious attractants to bears mm-hmm. who are just kind of rummaging around town. Are there some other things that people might not think of? Like I've heard bird feeders, dirty grills, things
yeah.
like that.
Anything with a scent will attract a hungry or curious bear. Bird feeders, hummingbird feeders, because they are so sweet, they will attract a bear. Although compost piles that are anaerobic, so they're not the ones that get warm, those have a stronger scent. Those will attract bears. Livestock feed. Livestock will attract a bear, but what we found this year is that the bears are finding that the chickens are just sometimes too hard to catch, and they'll go for the chicken feed instead. Mm-hmm. So if you do have chickens, make sure that not only are they protected with an electric fence, but also the feed is stored inside a secure structure. The other thing, sometimes they'll go for fruit trees. We haven't had a great, you know, cherry year, I don't think, down on the flats. They'll go for that. Barbecues for sure. Freezers. Freezers is one that we have been hearing about lately. Some people do have freezers on the exterior of their home. If you are one of those people, please make sure that it is locked really, really tightly. Bears have been able to open up freezer doors. They've also been opening up car doors. Mm-hmm. There's been the so-called pizza bear. And, you know, that is just an example of how great their sense of smell is. Even a car that with all doors closed, windows up, that has, you know, a coffee in it that has maybe some delicious, you know, syrups or creamer in it, the bear can smell that, and he or she will try to gain access to it, wondering if maybe it's a good treat. So really anything with a scent, Shelley, they'll try to figure out what it is and how they can get it. Definitely.
All right. Well, that's all good stuff to keep in mind. Maybe some things I wouldn't have thought of unless yeah. I heard you say them. Okay. So
sure.
Moving on from bears, what else?
Well, it is hunting season. We had deer season is open in most places on August 1, and moose season is coming right up. It opens September 15th in most places, as does waterfowl season. Now, with a lot of our hunts, there is typically, you know, you always need a hunting license, but some hunts require more documentation than others. So you might need a permit, you might need a harvest ticket, you might need a duck stamp. All of these things can be made available online. Everybody can get their things online this year, and we really want to encourage Juneau residents, hunters, any outdoorsmen to get their permits, licenses, harvest tickets online. And that's not only because then it saves you a trip, but also it does help minimize traffic into our local offices. You know, the fewer people we have walking into the office, the safer our staff are here and the better we can serve the public. And so to get any of those, you just go to hunt.alaska.gov, and there's some pretty big bold buttons there that help direct you where you need to go to find what you're looking for. And so that would be my big thing about hunting season this year. If you can get it online, I really encourage folks to do so. But when it comes to waterfowl, there's one more thing I wanted to say there. So last year, the Board of Game made a change to when the season opens for waterfowl in Southeast. And so bear with me here. It's a little bit tedious. I went over this last year with you, I think, but I'll go over it again because it's different this year than it was last.
Okay.
So in even years, like 2020, the season start date for waterfowl begins on September 16th. So this year it's starting just about September 15th. September 16th is the official opening day. But on odd years, like next year, 2021, the season will start on September 1st. And this is, we did this to actually, the Board of Game made this decision in order to kind of give folks who live in the southern part of the region a chance to access ducks that are available earlier in the season, and then shift that opportunity to around the region. I don't know if that makes sense, but basically certain types of species of ducks are available in different parts of the region during different times of the season.
Okay.
So the shifting season is supposed to spread out the opportunity for hunters. So that's a little different this year. If folks want to hunt on the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge, they need to know that the first 2 days of the season, so this year that would be September 16th and 17th, is open to youth hunters only. And a youth hunter is considered age 10 to 17. And that's just to give our young hunters who are just getting into the sport, you know, a good chance at being successful. And so if you're hunting the wetlands again, first 2 days are open to youth hunters only. And youth hunters need to be hunting with an adult, of course. So.
And I'm sure that there's someplace online where we can double check if we have questions or if we didn't get all that the first time.
Absolutely. And you can call us 465-4265. That's the local Douglas office number. And our front desk guy, Paul, is a knower of all things. He's far more knowledgeable than I, quite frankly, but he's really happy to help. So that's a lot of the details on waterfowl. And I know that was a lot. It is a little bit confusing, but like I said, just give us a call. And then, Shelley, I have a bit on toads. I don't know how much time we have left, but I have some stuff to talk about.
Oh, I think we've got some time for toads.
We have time for toads? Yeah. Great. So
are these the ones? Sorry, are these the ones out at Fish Creek?
Yeah. Yes, okay. These are them.
I've heard about them, but I haven't seen them
yes.
yet.
So it's been a banner year for toads. And, you know, if you're friends with anyone on social media who maybe has young kids, you may have seen photos of kids toting buckets of toadlets around and the tadpoles. It's been very exciting. but we're trying to discourage everyone from picking up and touching and, you know, also relocating these toadlets. The story behind the toads is that they are recovering from what's called a citrid fungus. Maybe it's citrid. I'd have to double check how you pronounce that. But basically, it's a fungus that damages the thin skin of amphibians. And in past years, we saw a big decline in the toad population in Southeast Alaska because they were suffering from this fungus and not surviving. But now with this resurgence, they're thinking that maybe the toads have formed some kind of immunity to the fungus, which is great. It's great news. But the problem is that when the toads are handled a lot by humans, there's a risk for that fungus to come back. So we're just asking everyone to observe the toads, enjoy the toads, but just don't touch the toads.
Got it. Yeah. No, you don't have to tell me twice that. But that's a very good advice. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, for anyone who's, you know, brought a toad home or touched it or had their kids, but the fungus is not at all dangerous to humans or pets. So there's nothing to worry about there. We just want to give those toads the best chance we can.
All right. Well, I have yet to see them. They sound super cute. Everyone's been talking about them, so I'll have to go out and check it out.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, Abby McAllister from Alaska Department of Fish and Game, thank you so much for another wonderful wildlife roundup. Is there anything else that you had on your list or anything else you want to share?
Gosh, no. I just would say that, you know, if you do run into a situation, briefly touch on bears again. You know, if the bear is doing what bears do and just walking through your backyard, no need to let us know. But mm-hmm. if the bear is persistently getting into garbage, we do want to hear about it. Again, that number is 465-4265. If it's out of regular business hours, so on the weekend or late at night, do call JPD's non-emergency line and they will get a hold of us.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for all that information and all the great reminders. I really appreciate it. Everybody needs to hear it every year, I think.
It's true. Thanks so much, Shelley.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
You as well. Bye-bye.